hate to interrupt good conversation. All right, thanks. Hi, my name is Amanda Green. Welcome to Gather. I see a lot of familiar faces, but if you're new, we are so glad you're here. If you're not new, we're still glad you're here. Have a couple of announcements, and then I'll get out of the way for the main event. Oasis Retreat, single-parent families. That is October... I don't think we have slides. October 22nd through the 24th. Oh, we have slides. You can sign up for that at watermark.org, Oasis Retreat. So I think I've heard that's a really great time out in East Texas. It is so fun. I'm getting affirmation on that over here. So single parents, sign up for that. Then not next week, but the following week is Gather Worship Night. So we'll come in here, just like you are now, and we'll do singing and a night of worship as opposed to breaking up into your small groups. So it's kind of a way for us to cap off this this series that we've been doing. So that'll be in 2 weeks. Make sure to return for that. And then that's really all I have. If y'all want to, we're going to do something we haven't done in a while, a little meet and greet time. So stand up. If you don't know anybody around you, meet a new face and say hi. All right, if y'all could scoot in. When you sit down, scoot in towards the center for those that come in late. If you don't mind squeezing in, look closer to those people you just got to know, and they'll pray for us, and we'll get to the main event here. Lord, we thank you so much for this group of folks that come to hang out and love one another and want to learn more about you and, Lord, the disciplines that we can use to get to know you better, Lord. We thank you that we don't have to have those, Lord, but you gave those as a way to build a relationship with you. And we just ask, pray for Bron as he teaches us tonight on what it means to rest, God, and just that you would help us to have good discussions in our group. It's your precious name I pray. Amen.
All right. Well, Green just took away my joke. I was going to tell you about how we brought in this great speaker, and it was so hard to get him. He's so busy, and it's me. And then we were going to do this. Bobby, sound effect. Nothing's working. It's unbelievable. There it is. Okay, thank you. All right. Hey, we are so glad that you're with us tonight. We're going to start tonight, week three. If you haven't been here yet, so far we've been talking about the spiritual disciplines, and we hope this has been a growth time for you in your walk with Christ, that as you have practiced some of the things that we're talking about, you've seen some of the fruit of that. And I'll tell you a quick story. How many of you all are NASCAR people? Okay, none of you will admit it. You're like, I went one time. You know, I'm not a NASCAR person, but I went out to, and I don't even know, at Texas Motor Speedway, do they do NASCAR there, or is that Formula One? NASCAR. It's NASCAR. I was just seeing if you all knew. I knew that, of course. But I went out for a practice round there, and it's an interesting experience. It's very loud. Skull Bandits is the sponsor, you know, stuff like that. It's a different crowd out there. And I just remember sitting out there, and I read something recently about Formula One and NASCAR that the drivers say, hey, a good driver knows that driving around the track's really important, but that's an important part of the race, but where the race is really won many times is in the pit stops. Is when they pull over and the car, the tires are changed or whatever they do. I'm not going to act like I know, but they're doing some stuff there to get things back so they can get back on the track. And I want you to think about your life right now, that we're going to talk about a discipline or a few disciplines tonight that will be a little bit like the pit stop for you, a time to pull aside. So I want you to think about your life a little bit like a race car or a driving through life, and that as you drive through life, these disciplines we're going to talk about are some important ways to refuel, to tune up your walk with the Lord, and get ready for the road ahead. So the three that we're going to talk about tonight are solitude, slowing, and Sabbath rest. Okay, some of you right now, you came into this room tonight and you were in such a hurry. Okay, you were buzzing through traffic. You were trying to get here in a hurry. You already feel hurried and you're trying to slow down, trying to slow down your pace a little bit. And I want to talk about why we're in such a hurry all the time. And I think it's costing us in our walk with the Lord. I think it's affecting us in our relationship with others. And so I'm going to really encourage you and challenge you to maybe practice some of these disciplines this week. A definition of solitude. Solitude is a spiritual discipline of voluntarily and temporarily withdrawing to privacy for spiritual purposes. Okay, that you would retreat, you would get away from the distractions of life so that you could just sit and be, like we talked about the first week, in the way of the Spirit. Okay, that you would feed your spirit, as the scripture says, that you would do things that would get you in tune with the Lord. And so I want you to start off, we're going to start off by looking at the way Jesus practiced solitude. In Matthew 4, there's a time there where Jesus, as you guys know, in Matthew 4, the Spirit leads Jesus out into the desert. And you got to take note there, the Spirit leads him. And you guys know he's out there for many days. He's fasting and he's practicing solitude out there by himself, because we know what happens. Many of you know the story, that Satan comes and begins to try to tempt him with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Just a side note, that's where Satan always comes after us. Okay, those three things, those three categories. And so he begins to try to tempt him. And what Jesus does is, by spending this time out in solitude with the Father, he's ready to take on the schemes of the enemy. And I want to tell you, I think that's true for us too. As we practice solitude, we're ready to take on what the enemy might throw at us, because we're walking in the Spirit, because we're letting the Spirit have reign in our lives. The second thing I want you to take note of is Matthew 14, 23. It says, after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And just notice that he was sending away the crowds to go spend time alone in prayer. So it wasn't like things weren't going on. Some of you right now, when you think about solitude, you go, I just don't have time. Isn't that what we say sometimes? I don't have time to take time to spend time with the Lord. I'm so busy and things are so fast. But we know Jesus was busy doing ministry. There was a lot happening. People wanted his time, but he purposefully would get away and be alone with the Father. And if it was good enough for Jesus, if he was something he was practicing, we should follow the same example. In Mark 1:35, it says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. Can you imagine? They're nervous. They're going, Jesus, do you not know that people are wanting you to minister to them and talk to them and preach to them? And I want you to see that Jesus, even in the middle of that, was rising early and going and spending time with the Father. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So I'm wondering if you know that the Lord wants to use you. He has given you certain gifts. Okay, he has given you gifts that he wants you to use for his kingdom. The word says that he's like, he wants to use you as his ambassador, as though he's making his appeal through you. Isn't that an amazing thought? That we get to be an ambassador for the king? And the only way we're going to be fruitful in that is if we are sowing or walking in the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit or walking in the Spirit. And so I'm gonna really encourage you this week, you ought to set aside a time to just be still and be alone with the Lord. If Jesus did it, why wouldn't we? And what we got to remember is that if we try to do ministry or try to love people or do any of those things on our own strength, we will not bear much fruit. We need him. What we need for them, we get from him. Remember that. Write that down so you'll be reminded as you go through your week this week. Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3 says this, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I love that, that we would get alone with the Lord and we would set our hearts and minds on the things of the earth. See, I think when we do that, when we set our mind on the things above, think about all the things in life that distract you and that you worry about and that you get consumed with. It many times it's because we've got our minds so full of everything here on the earth, and we haven't set our mind on the things above. Our minds are consumed with earthly things. Verse 3 says, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Here's what I want to tell you. I think as we spend time with the Lord, what that Greek word hidden there means is to be secure and satisfied in him. Isn't that amazing, to be secure and satisfied? What makes us insecure? Well, most of the time, it's when we're consumed with things here. our jobs, our money, our cars, our homes, our relationships, our positions. We get caught up in those things and we're not setting our minds on the things above. And that's what makes us consumed with what the world thinks is important. We have to spend time with the Lord, guys, to remind ourselves who he says you are in Christ. And do you all need that reminder? I know I do. That's why I see all the time in the scripture, remember Jesus Christ. Remember who he is. Do not be deceived. Don't think that there's life in other things. There's life in him. This last week, I was in 1 Timothy 6, and I was sitting in that in my solitude time with the Lord. And I'm sitting there, and I remember reading this verse. It said, godliness with contentment is great gain. I thought, okay, so godliness, walking with the Lord, there can be content in that. It's great gain. And it said, for you brought nothing into the world, and you'll take nothing out. And it was such a great moment for me just to sit with the Lord and go, Lord, I'm sitting in the house right now that one day won't be my house. Somebody else will own it. Somebody will be here. And I get caught up in all the temporary stuff. And so it was so good for me to go, Lord, would you remind me today that as I want to worry and if I want to be consumed with earthly things, that this stuff is all going to go and it's not going to be mine. And this is my temporary home. And one day I'll go get to be with you. And the reason that happened was because I was spending time. I'd set aside some time to go, Lord, how do you want to speak to me through your word? How does your spirit want to encourage me right now? What do you want to convict me of? How do you want to change me? What do you want to teach me? And if we don't ever slow down enough, if your only time that you do that is here at Gather or at your church or on Sunday mornings, I think you're missing out on a daily opportunity that the Lord has for you. So here's the way I want you to think about solitude. Here's three ways to think about it, okay? One is that you would devote daily, just like we just talked about. You would plan a time, and some of you are going, man, I've never done this. Okay, that'd be a little weird, sitting still and not talking or being in God's word. And some of you are going, man, I do this all the time, and it's amazing how the Lord uses this. But wherever you are, I want to encourage you, if you've never done it, man, take 15 minutes a day. Just sit before the Lord. Pray in the mornings. Hope some of you really practiced praying this last week in a different way. You're like, hey, I just was real intentional with my prayer life as we talked about it last week. And you saw some fruit from that. So devote daily. Then another idea is to withdraw weekly. And I'll tell you what I do with that. When I withdraw weekly, I like to journal. So at the first of the week, I'll think about, hey, what are some things that are heavy on my heart? Or that I need to cast upon the Lord because I'm worried about him, or they are consuming me a little bit. And I'll give those over to him. And it was just good to release that to him and go, Lord, would your spirit remind me that I don't have to worry about those things, that you've got me, that you're with me. So withdraw weekly. Another thing you might do is you might, at the end of the week on that withdraw weekly, is journal just reflections of the week. Like, hey, how did I give in to sin this week? What's an area the Lord would convict me about? Where was my heart cold? Where was I tempted? Where was any of those things to just slow down enough to ask the Lord, say, Lord, would you show me where you want to lead me to life because I've been chasing things that aren't of you? And so to withdraw weekly and write those things down can be such a good thing. And then one more, this is going to be a little more intense, that you would abandon annually. That you would say, hey, once a year, I'm going to get away. My wife and I get away for five or six days. And a couple of those days, I will just spend thinking about the year. Lord, what did you teach me this year? What were some of the markers of the year that I saw your hand in my life? What were some things that you taught me that you were trying to grow me in? What are some sin, maybe some struggles that I just need to confess and say, Lord, I don't want that to have any more ground in my life. But if we don't take time to do that, we don't reflect, I think we're missing out on an opportunity for the Lord to grow us. Some of you, how many of you would say, I'm highly relational, I love people, okay? A lot of you, okay? So when you think about solitude, you're going, whew, so you just want me to be alone. That sounds like a real fun time, okay? And here's what I'd tell you. I'm just like you. I sometimes am tempted to go, I just want to hang with people and talk about God's word, which I think could be a great thing, or talk about the Lord. That's awesome. I love that you do that, and you should. But I will tell you what I've done to help with that is journaling's been a great way to process what I'm thinking about, what I'm meditating on, what the Lord's teaching me. And it's almost like a way of having a conversation with yourself. Like, hey, these are the things. When I walk and pray, I pray out loud. I'm a verbal guy. I'm out there and people think I've lost my mind a little bit because I'm out there going, you know, and I'm out walking around. And so I would just tell you that that's been such a blessing because I'm a verbal guy. I want to talk about that. So I will, and to keep my heart fixed in the Lord, I will walk and pray and talk to him. So that might be an answer for some of you that are going, man, it's really hard for me to be still. I get distracted. I start thinking about other things. Man, journal some things. When you read a verse, write out a question about it. Hey, Lord, or pray that verse. Lord, I pray this verse. Write it out. Those are just ways to stay connected. So here's my question for you. Are some of you afraid to be still before the Lord because you're fearful of what he might convict you about? You're fearful that he might lead you in a certain direction. Maybe you don't trust, if you're really being honest, that he's good and that he has your best in mind. And I would just tell you, the Lord is good. He is a place of refuge. He's a strong tower. The righteous run into him and they're safe. And you can trust him. And so some of this discipline that we're talking about is going to grow your intimacy with the Lord and your trust of him. And you're going to start to see some of the fruit of that if you'll practice these things and walk with him. The second discipline that I want to talk to you about is slowing. Okay? And some of you are already like, what do you mean slowing? I'm in a hurry right now in my mind. Okay, so John Ortberg is a guy that I've read some books by, and I think he has a mentor named Dallas Willard. And Dallas Willard wrote a book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. Okay, and John Ortberg tells a story about calling Dallas Willard and talking to him, and he asked this, here's how it goes. He called Willard and he asked, hey, what do I need to do to become the me that I want to be? Or another way he said, how do I become God's man? How do I see everything that God wants me to be? And he says, there was a long silence on the other end of the line. According to John, with Willard, there was always a long silence on the other end of the line. He said, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And I loved Ortberg's response. Then he asked, okay, what else? And can you see that? Like, okay, yeah, I got it. What else? But what's the real stuff? And even his response was quick, right? He's going, hey, there's got to be more to it than that. And he said, then there was what? Another long silence. And Willard said, no, there's nothing else. He said, hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And then Ortberg went on to say, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. Did y'all hear that? You guys remember some of those book reports you did, the cliff notes or the quick, you want to just skim the book and you try to write something about it. I think this is what it said. It's sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we could try to skim. Like, I got a couple minutes with him. I was on the way driving and I said, Lord, would you bless the day? And I went on. And I just think we're missing out. We need to slow down enough, I know I do, to reflect on the Lord and be reminded that he's with me, that he's present, and his presence is fullness of joy. So here's a definition for slowing. It's cultivating patience by deliberately choosing to place ourselves in positions where we simply have to wait. Who's in? Not many of you. You're like, what? I'm deliberately doing that? And then it says, he said this, Ortberg says, slowing is an act of rebellion against the idols of our age. Speed, accomplishment, success at all costs. It's about giving up the fight for a good life and taking up the fight for a good soul. It's about getting on the rhythm of Jesus who invites us to recover our life through him. Here's my question for us. Why are we in such a hurry? This would be another great journal for you. Lord, why am I in such a hurry all the time? Y'all ever sense that? I don't know why I'm racing around sometimes. Like, we got to go. And I'm like, we don't really have to. We got plenty of time. But but there's something in us. And when people ask you how you're doing, a really popular response now is what? I'm busy. Man, I'm really busy. And I've thought about that. I think sometimes the reason we love to say we're busy because it makes us feel like we're worth something, or what we're doing counts. Or it's, and when we do that, I think the Lord's going, no, no, no. That's not what makes you count. What makes you worth something is that you're loved by me with an everlasting love. And you are my son and you are my daughter and I've adopted you into my family. That's what makes you worth. You are in Christ if you know him. So you don't want to be in such a hurry or being busy and start to look at, remember we talked about earlier, worldly things that make us feel like we're worth something when the Lord's going, you're worth something because of my love for you. And I don't make any junk. I made you. My story growing up, we were in a family where my mom she always like, hey, you have to do some chores today. She always had stuff. And we had this intercom in our house. Okay, and I know that makes me sound like we had this really nice house, but it was like 10 years older than it should have been. And it was not nice, okay? But I remember my mom's down in the kitchen. And of course, my mom didn't know how to use any technology. And so I remember I was kind of like I am now with my kids. But anyway, so I remember being in bed and she would get on this intercom and she'd go, Bron, you up, which is a really annoying voice, but that's how it sounded. And I was like, and I'd be like, yeah, Mom, I'm up. And then she would release the button, shh, listening for me to say something. So I was like, then she'd go, Bron, are you up? You know, she did that again. I go, I'm up. So she listened, and so eventually she couldn't figure it out. So I go to the top of the stairs and go, Mom, I'm awake. All right, I know. She goes, well, I left you a list of chores on the table, and I'd look down those stairs, and on the table, wind blowing through the open window, and this legal pads flapping on the table with a million chores on them, literally. And what she'd always tell me is, hey, I wrote you out some chores you need to do for today. She'd always say, it's probably only going to take you 30 minutes if you could jump right on it. It was 4 hours of work, okay? It was stuff like, why don't you build a house just like ours outside? It's, you know, stuff like that. And she would make stuff up, clean the fireplace. It was the summer, you know, that kind of thing. But I just remember rest was a hard thing for our family. We just didn't do rest well. We were like, we got to be going all the time. We got to be accomplishing things. And so some of you might have that same issue. You're type A. You're like, I got to get things done. And so here's some things I'm going to encourage you that I've read to encourage you how to slow down. Okay, so here's some thoughts of how. Here's one, drive the speed limit.
What else can I do?
Yeah. You're like, is there anything else? Okay, we're done. So drive the speed limit. Now listen. I heard a guy say in my community group, he goes, hey, the Lord's sanctifying all of us, and kind of the last thing he does is your right foot. Okay, that's the last thing gets sanctified. But what I would tell you is there's something, isn't it amazing? I drive down Hillcrest to Watermark every morning. And if you're driving Hillcrest in the morning, you might have flown by me. But I'm driving, and I'm usually going a few miles over the speed limit or whatever. And people are flying by me. I'm like switching lanes, and they're on, you know. And then what's so funny, it's probably Blake Logan. You get up to the light with that person that was flying by you, and then you're still with them. And they're like, look at her. You know, they're ticked at you, right? They're ticked. They're going, I'm going to kill you if you stay up with me. But we're just in a hurry. And I wonder, you know, if we just purposely said, man, I'm going to slow down a little bit. I'm going to reflect a little bit. Here's another one you might think about is put your phone up while you're waiting. Okay, you're in a waiting room. I know this is really getting in your business. You're like, I can't do that. But, you know, to not look at some, not do emails, texts, all that kind of thing. Do you remember when we used to call people? Some of you, I'm going to show my age here. And there were busy signals. Yeah, people could not talk to them. I mean, today it's like, you didn't text me right back. I'm so mad at you. How come you didn't respond? You know, it's just everything's so quick. And so slowing down a little bit and going, man, I'm just going to not always have my mind engaged in something. Instead, I'm going to fix my eyes on things above. I'm going to be thinking about the Lord. I might even be praying in that waiting room. So anyway, just know that that's one thing. The third thing is Here's one that's going to get you. Pick the longest line at the store. Okay? Now, I know some of you are like, this is sacrilege. Okay? Or, listen to this. You might park, what's that? I guess so. So you might be in a parking lot too. At the parking lot, hey, pick a space a little farther away. You have to walk in another 8 seconds, okay, or whatever it is. Just slow down a little bit, okay, and take that. Some of you are going, isn't it amazing? We will like go around the parking lot looking for that closest spot for half an hour, and then we're going, I knew I was going to get that spot, and we're like 8 seconds, you know, closer or whatever. You go inside the store. Ridiculous, okay? But the deal is that we just go, man, I gotta get there quick. I'm in a hurry. And here's another one, walk slower, okay? So I know this sounds crazy, but my wife is 5'5", I'm 6'6", so I'm like one stride, she's 4 strides, you know, trying to keep up. And I'm not really even walking fast, but it's just, but you know, sometimes I catch myself like, why am I cranking out to get somewhere in such a hurry? And I know that sounds silly, but I think it's a way just to slow down enough to reflect and to think about. Here's what I think slowing down does. Slowing down can communicate love to others, and it's an opportunity to be fully present with people. And isn't the way you kind of envision Jesus with the people? Now, he went away, like we said, to pray, but when he's with him, you just sense, man, he's listening. He's caring for them. He's attentive to them. And if I'm always in a hurry, if you're always thinking about the next thing, then you're not fully present. And it's maybe missing out on a way, again, that the Lord might want to use you, and you being in the Spirit might minister to people or just listening to them, caring for them, through the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Wouldn't it be great if we slowed down? So why do we struggle with even slowing down? Here's what I wrote down some thoughts. Maybe it's if you feel like if I slow down, I'm being lazy. Maybe you're so used to being in a hurry all the time that to downshift feels, oh man, that's crazy, that's lazy. Maybe it's a missed opportunity for progress on something. I got to get ahead, I'm going to fall behind. You ever feel that way? And it's just like I'm always in that hurried state. Here's what I think is that we can be in such a hurry that there's no inward rest. We're just cranking all the time. And where there's a constant state of hurry, here's what I've seen in my life. There's a lot of times there's a constant state of worry. Okay, I get caught up in things. I'm trying to keep up. I'm always feeling like I'm in a hurry. I need to keep going. And some of it is just not trusting the Lord. Okay, it's like I've got to take matters into my own hands. I've got to be in a hurry if I don't get this done. And it's a constant pressure that you feel. So I want to encourage you to slow down. And what you do with that slowing, like we talked about, being more present with people, reflecting on the Lord, even walking throughout your day and talking to the Lord, praying, just going, Lord, I'm getting ready. If you're getting ready to meet with somebody for lunch, to be in the car instead of cranking on music and all that stuff, going, Lord, I just want to pray that you'd use me in this lunch, that you would, that I'd be kind, that I would be a reflection of Jesus to this person. We don't think about slowing down enough to pray. And slowing down enough to remember the Lord is with us. Okay, here's the last one. Sabbath rest. Okay, and let me say this on the front end. When Jesus came in the Old Testament, you see Sabbath as something that they gave them that they were to practice. And it was a good thing. It was a blessed them. What we need to know is that Jesus himself is where we find our rest now. Okay, And so I want to make sure we understand that he alone satisfies the requirements of the law. He alone provides the sacrifice that atones for sin. He is God's plan for us to cease from the labor of our own works. Okay, so we can rest in him. We don't have to earn our salvation. That's the beauty of grace, all right, that God would gave his one and only son for us. We didn't have to earn his love. We didn't have to work for his love for us. He sent his son for us. And so remember that rest is found only in him. But here's what I want you to know. I don't think we have to practice the Sabbath now because of Jesus, but I will tell you that I think it's wise, okay, to be still. And so I'm going to encourage you this way, to think about the Sabbath as a gift to you, okay, to take a day whenever you choose to, or even half a day if you want to start, to go, I'm going to just rest and worship. I'm going to stop from striving and I'm going to stop doing those things. There was a girl in our group the first week that talked about she lived in Israel. I think her name was Amanda. I don't know if Amanda's here tonight. But she, so for 5 weeks, she said, or 5 years, she lived in Israel, and she said every Sabbath, everything just shut down. And she said, you wouldn't believe what a blessing that was. She just said, we were like, we looked forward to that day of rest. We felt more prepared for the 6 days, and then we would look forward to when that was coming. And then we, and it just worked. It was amazing how that blessed them. And so it was a really cool thought to think that, hey, their practice that in back in the Old Testament, what was happening with the Israelites is the Sabbath was intended to help them, not burden them. In contrast with the grueling daily work as slaves in Egypt, the Israelites were commanded to take a full day of rest each week under the Mosaic law. So they were told, hey, stop working and rest. Okay, and for some of us, that sounds crazy. Here's another quote about that. At the heart of worship is rest, a stopping from all work, all worry, all scheming, all fleeing to stand amazed and thankful before God and his work. There can be no true worship without true rest. So here's my question. How are we doing with rest? Could we set aside a day, a week just to rest? This has been the toughest one for me. Okay, I'm just going to be straightforward. This is one that the Lord's still working on me with. I'll find myself going, I got to get the list done. I got to, you know, the flapping in the wind. That's my mom still in my head. So it is a good reminder for you, rest in the Lord, to say, hey, I'm going to trust the Lord with what all the things that need to be done, that they're going to be there tomorrow, and I'm going to rest in him today. There's a little chicken place that you may have heard of that's pretty popular, and they decided that one day would be a good idea. Let's watch this video.
Chick-fil-A. I could eat there 7 times a day, where the people laugh and children play. Oh, I'm in love with Chick-fil-A. Suddenly, I need waffle fries in front of me, with some nuggets and a large sweet tea. Oh, Chick-fil-A, you set me free. Kids, get in the van so we can go there today. But their stores are closed, oh I know, 'cause it's Sunday. Chick-fil-A. What a dirty, rotten trick to play. Now I have to settle for Subway. Oh, I'm in love with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A.
Isn't that funny? Golly. I'll read you a quote by Truett Cathy, who was the founder of Chick-fil-A. He opened his first restaurant in Hapeville, Georgia, having worked 7 days a week in restaurants that were open 24 hours. Truett saw the importance of closing on Sundays so that he and his employees could set aside one day to rest and worship if they choose, a practice they uphold still today. So if it works for Chick-fil-A, okay, to take a day, I will tell you, I love what it said there, to choose to rest and worship. And you know, that's a choice for us. We can choose to slow down and say, Lord, I'm just going to be thankful today. I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to worship you. So here's my encouragement to you as we move towards the end here. Take a step towards rest. Take a step towards these things. Sabbath is imitating God, so we stop trying to be God. Think about the way the Lord, when he created the world, 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. In Mark 6, 30 through 31, it says this, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So you get the sense, they just came back from doing ministry. And look what Jesus says. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. You ever been so busy? I forgot I didn't even eat today. So busy. And I love that's what Jesus' response to them as they come in. He's going, hey, come away, rest. Jesus himself said, you know, all come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. And I think we're so busy trying to take matters in our own hands. So we have to ask ourselves, why don't we choose to rest? We feel like we've got to get things done. We go fall behind. We form that habit, like we said, same thing with slowing, that we're a habit of running so hard that rest always seems lazy to us. And then we have a hard time trusting the Lord, and we take matters into our own hands. Here's a thought. Move from ambition to abiding. Okay, the ambition of got to go, instead of go, Lord, no, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to take time to know you in a greater way so that when I am going, you're with me and I'm walking your spirit. Here's the thought about moving from ambition to abiding. No work, no building, no achieving, no pressing, no striving, no trying to push the ball forward, just simply resting. So here's a couple thoughts. Solitude this week, maybe you'll set a time aside daily. Short time, long time, whatever you decide, but get a plan. If you don't plan for that, you probably won't do it. If you're in a habit of not doing it, so set a plan. Slowing. Take note. Journal a little bit about why you're always in a hurry and practice things to slow down. And when you are slowing down, while you're slowing, go, Lord, would you help me just remember you, that you're with me? The third thing, Sabbath rest. Allow yourself to be still for half a day or a day. Rest and worship. It doesn't mean you have to sit there. It just means that you're not going to be trying to get your list done and trying to get ahead, and you're just going to enjoy resting. Here's what I'll close with this idea. I think the race of life, you know, as we talked that opening story about NASCAR, I think many of us, if we're honest, we look at us right now and at our lives, and we have been running on high RPMs for a long time. Okay, we're kind of redlining on the RPMs, and we're ignoring it. Maybe we're ignoring that, and we're thinking, it'll be fine, I'll just keep going. And what you know is true is that if you keep doing that, you are getting ready to break down. Your car of life or your life is getting ready to break down. The Lord's going, hey, guess what? Pull in here. Pull in here for some rest. Come rest in me. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. And I want you to know me, and I want to know you. My sheep hear my voice. They know me, and they follow me, is what Jesus said. Maybe you already know your check engine light is on, and you've just been ignoring it. You see all the signs. There's stress, there's worry, there's hurry, there's anger. You're seeing some of those signs. I'm seeing some of those signs with me right now. I'm going, oh man, there are times when I see it, and I need to make sure that I'm taking time to rest in the Lord and to know him. So here's the question. Will you let the Lord work on you? Are you willing to pull in to the stop there for a little while each week? Maybe each day, devoting daily, withdrawing weekly, abandoning annually, spending some time with him and letting his spirit have greater reign in your life. Make room for the spirit. God gives us that opportunity each week. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the practice that we saw Jesus doing as he went alone to a quiet place and he prayed and he spent time with you. Thank you for that example of solitude. Lord, thank you for this idea of slowing, just that we could, again, that it would allow us to not be so caught up in the here and now, this temporary place. For those of us who know Christ, we'll go home to be with you one day. This isn't our home. And would you allow us to slow down enough to remember you, to be mindful of you, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then thirdly, Lord, would you help us to practice even a day of rest where we'd be more still, where we wouldn't keep striving and building and pressing on, and we would just trust you. And so, Lord, I pray there'd be fruit from that as my friends here and as I practice the disciplines that you model for us. Thanks for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can head to your small groups.